We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Seahawks Man to Man podcast, powered by The Athletic. Shout out to the company. My name is Michael Sean Dugar. I'm here with my co-host, Christopher Kidd. Make sure you follow us both up on the tweet machine. I don't got to tell you my Twitter because I'm already verified. Chris, talk to him.
What is up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Kidd. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at CKIDD206, and that's CKID206.
Still got to get you verified, Chris. So we're going to keep working on that. We're back from the bye week. We have a special guest on the program. We have the real Fitzgerald, who covers the Arizona Cardinals for Arizona Republic. Catherine Fitzgerald, what up? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
We are all right. We're all right. Are you verified on Twitter?
I am. So rooting for you too, Chris. We'll get you there.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate the love. It's a work in progress.
Chris, I think this is like, in terms of guests, this is like our fifth consecutive guest that's been verified. We're working on you, though.
We'll, a great streak.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's going to continue, probably. I'm sure. But, you know, Catherine, we're going to talk about the Cardinals, one of the weirder teams in the league, I feel like. Can't get a read on. But I want to talk about something that happened while we were watching the Monday Night Football game where they smacked Dallas. I'm pretty sure it was the first time that a slave was ever mentioned on a Monday Night Football broadcast. And that was, of course, when Lisa Salters brought up DeAndre Hopkins, receiver for the Cardinals, wearing the name Denmark VC on his helmet decal. And you wrote a great, great piece on that. First off, just kind of tell us about how that piece came about and what that was like writing it.
Yeah, I had been really interested to see what all the different players chose if they went with a helmet decal, just because, you know, I think there's so many different important and meaningful ways you can go with that nod this season. And DeAndre's nod to Denmark VC just really stood out in, you know, so many of the other examples of individual people or more recent names that people are familiar with. But to pick someone like Denmark VC, where so few people learn about him during school, about him trying to plan a revolt in Charleston, to free a large number of enslaved people, ultimately got found out ahead of time, was executed. You know, that's not something we learn about in our history books, really. So for DeAndre Hopkins to be so adamant about, like, I want to, through my helmet, give a nod to this man who people don't hear about, I think that's so significant.
And I saved myself the stress and anger of, like, looking at the hashtag Denmark VC when it was, like, kind of going on Twitter on Monday night, because I was afraid of, like I said, just being really angry. And I say that to bring up, what was the reactions? Just maybe just reader comments on your story, just any replies, emails? Because when I think of, like, because Denmark is basically a slave who not only gets recognized, but is framed as heroic, which is very rare in history. So what was the reactions when D-Hop doing that kind of went public?
I think the most interesting thing for me was so many people were reacting or replying with, like, wow, I learned something new. I didn't know about this. Maybe some cases of, I want to learn more. And I think, again, that's just such a testament to you know, kind of the idea too of like, who do we learn about in our history classes, in our history books, and who is not, like, purposefully often not talked about in when we're learning about U.S. history. And so just for people to, through Hopkins, learn about Denmark VC, I think, you know, that's kind of the coolest feedback you can see of, oh, I learned something new.
Well, in general, just kind of covering, you know, the whole summer was everyone in the NFL covering, like, part protest, part football. What was that like on your end? How did Arizona handle this summer of protests?
Yeah, it was interesting, just given Arizona as a state itself. But I think that this team, it seemed like they had really important conversations on either some of the off days that they had throughout the summer. I was interested to see Cliff Kingsbury's approach, since, you know, he usually is just a very heavy football-minded guy, just loves to watch film, loves to be all about football. And, you know, that being said, he still connects well with his players. So he ended up talking to us, I think it was right after the team had the day off, after George Floyd, to have team conversations about George Floyd, systemic racism. And, you know, it was one of Kingsbury's longest press conferences, and really just talking about having these deeper conversations with players, letting them know they're supported, calling out systemic racism pointedly. I think those are things that you wouldn't have seen in Arizona a few years ago.
Yeah, you're not seeing those anywhere across the league a few years ago, I don't think, unless usually a black coach steps out on the ledge and does it. I'm curious, has there been, what is the conversation or the energy or the response been from ownership, if anything? That seems like we got the coaches saying things because we get them on Zoom every week. Has there been anything from, you know, levels of leadership above that in Arizona?
Yeah, I did get to talk to Michael Bidwell right before the season started. And it was really interesting to hear his perspective too, where he mentioned, obviously this was back early September, how, you know, they were already having conversations then about voting, about why that's so important, but also really focusing on all the down ballot votes. You know, the presidential election, of course, super significant, but local elections, the Senate race in Arizona, but also like school boards, judges, other people that impact your community, and you get to vote on who's making those decisions. So I think that's really important too. The players are really engaged in a lot of these initiatives, but also having those conversations of like, okay, it's not just, you know, voting for the president. It's all these other ways that we can influence our society.
One last one. I know D-Hop obviously had the name that he wore on his helmet. And learning about the other guys who are wearing helmet names on their helmet decals, was there anyone else that stood out to you?
Yeah, Kelvin Beecham has Breonna Taylor, and he was mentioning how he has daughters, so that was so important to him, just to, you know, think specifically about Black women and remember them and make sure that they know that they matter too. I think what's really interesting too is that with both DeAndre and Kelvin, these are also guys who are new to the Cardinals, who I've only ever talked to them over Zoom. I haven't met them in person, so, you know, these are kind of weird conversations to have on a Zoom press conference, just in the sense of it's a little less personal than, you know, talking by a locker, getting to build up to some of these questions instead of just, you know, over the internet to a group of strangers. So getting to hear their stories and their reasons has been such an important part of this season.
You mentioned D-Hop's new to the team. Like, that's like, I don't know if it's been like a forgotten story with all the craziness that is 2020, but like, how has that, you know, gone over, you know, with Kyler Murray having arguably the best receiver in the league to throw to every day?
Yeah, I mean, you see it on the field already. He even, you know, Kyler had kind of a weird Monday night game, only completed 9 passes, but still had some huge plays to Hopkins, to Christian Kirk. I think there's still trying to kind of figure out this offense, and obviously it's better to be doing that when it's like, oh, actually now we have a ton of options where before we were pretty limited. Like, let's find our identity a bit more. So they're in a good place, even if they still haven't totally gelled. Cliff Kingsbury even said Tuesday, like, yeah, our offense hasn't hit its stride yet, and you know, part of that is yeah, when you add someone like DeAndre Hopkins, he makes an immediate impact. So now it's just figuring out, like, how do we best leverage this moving forward?
Wait, this offense hasn't hit its stride yet, and DeAndre Hopkins leads the league in yards? Like, that's pretty
those
scary.
Those are Cliff's words, yeah.
Okay, that doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, and he said that's kind of, you know, that's exciting to him of if we're already, you know, putting up these points, putting up these stats and haven't hit our stride, perhaps worrisome to other teams, but exciting for the Cardinals.
Yeah, worrisome definitely to the rest of the division, especially for the Seahawks this week, giving up more yards than anyone in league history. I don't think I asked you this last time we had you on the show. If I did, I apologize, but it's my favorite question to ask guests. Is Kyler Murray good?
Yes. I realized this year I have to try so much harder to describe all the ways he runs, that he does things. He's really fun to watch. And, you know, obviously last year it only translated to 5 wins, but I think you're already seeing his growth in year two. And it's just dynamic sometimes, even seeing it in real life and then the replay right away. It's like, wow, you broke that man's ankles and you have enough time to like sit him down and comfort him and play a sad song, play the Sarah McLachlan music. Like, I'm so sorry, your ankles are dead, and then still go into the end zone. Like, it's the timing and what he does. It's really wild to watch.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I don't know if everyone knows, but if you go on Twitter whenever the Cardinals play, and I only got to watch them maybe once or twice because they're always playing when the Seahawks are playing, but if you guys go on Twitter and just look for Kyler Murray runs like, just search that in the search bar, and it's just, it's a great time. I mean, there's a lot of repeats, but there's been some good ones there because it does look like he takes so many steps to go a yard. He takes like 12 steps every 1 yard, and it's just kind of funny. What's been your favorite Kyler Murray runs like joke this season?
Oh, easily my favorite was Ralph Amson, who's in Arizona too. He mentioned back in like September about the vine of the kid with the knife, where they're like running around the inflatable pool and the parents are like, oh, what have you got there? And then they're like, it's a knife. But yeah, I think that's correct. You know, just the way he like scurries around and yeah. I think that's the best one so far.
Chris, have you seen these?
I did when I talked to you yesterday.
Which one did you catch one you liked?
The one with the baby where he's running and then he stops on a dime and turns around.
Oh yeah.
You've seen that one when they talked about DK running routes earlier.
Yeah,
when he first
yeah.
I saw that one and I was thinking, wow, I see where they got this from. It's pretty funny.
I think my favorite, there's two. There's two of my favorite ones. The one where it's Kyler Murray runs like Stewie Griffin, because that one's great. Because I'm a huge, that's Family Guy is probably my favorite TV show of all time. And then the other one is Kyler Murray runs like the Flintstones trying to start their car.
Oh, man.
Oh. I don't think I've seen that one yet, but my car sometimes sounds like the Flintstones car. and I don't know. I think actually Kyler is a lot more effective than my actual four-wheel motor vehicle.
There's one more Kyler thing. I think you've done a really good job of just chronicling the out of context Kyler quotes that are just relatable in life. I think everyone should follow you on Twitter, if for no other reason, just for just the out of context Kyler Murray quotes. Has there been one that's been just really just like applicable to your life this year?
Oh, well, I think the one that was the most opposite of me was he was asked about the big win over San Francisco and was just kind of like, well, for me, there will never be a hangover. I just tweeted that out and everyone was replying like, all right, man, wait till you turn 25. Or like, yeah, spoken like a guy who's right out of college. I am very opposite in my hangover situation these days. So, but yeah, I think he usually once a week gives us something that's just, he is kind of, sometimes it's not even intended to be funny, but he does also have a dry sense of humor and he's pretty deadpanned a lot of the time. And combining that with an out of context quote sometimes is just what I feel people most need on their Wednesday afternoon.
Mike did say he had one more question for Kyler Murray. Well, I also want one, also have one, I should say. And how is his leadership? When you look at him, he seems really quiet and he just gets the job done. But you see him, you talk to him. What kind of vibe do you get leadership wise that Kyler Murray possesses with this team?
Yeah, I think part of it is that he's so competitive. We've talked to them this season about like, they're all playing video games together. They're playing chess together. He beat Larry Fitzgerald in chess, which, you know, I don't know what you want to make of that. If it's, you know, Kyler is finally taken over, if it's Larry needs to brush up on his chess openings. But I think like, no matter what he does, he wants to win ferociously. And I think that even if it's not the same, like, rah-rah of quarterbacks on other teams, maybe more your kind of like quarterback in a movie or something like that, he doesn't necessarily need that because they know what he can do on the field, but also just that like any decisions he's making out there, it's getting this team to win. And I think that's kind of what becomes most important to this team.
You did mention Christian Kirk, and you also wrote a really cool piece earlier this year in August about the potential to go through the roof. I know he missed a game due to injury, but outside of that, how do you think he has progressed this season?
Yeah, I think something that's notable about Christian Kirk too is that Kyler Murray is just so comfortable with him. And he's comfortable with receivers for different reasons. Like, obviously, anyone's going to be comfortable with a Larry Fitzgerald, with a DeAndre Hopkins. But with Christian Kirk, you know, they played for a bit together in college. They've known each other since they were so young. And I think you see that show up in just, you know, he's going to look for him, I think, more often than maybe another quarterback would. And that's not a knock to Christian's abilities or anything, but just their rapport is so clear. And I think that's just going to keep helping this team, especially, you know, defenses now, if they're going to plan around DeAndre Hopkins, that's only going to help Christian Kirk. He had that 80-yard touchdown against Dallas, which was, you know, something they had been ready for all week. He's able to do those big plays, but they also use him in some dynamic other ways too. So I think he offers a lot there. And again, especially if a defense is first going to look for Hopkins, that just is such a boost for Kirk.
Let's look at the defensive side. We're going to give a shout out to a guy that was born in Washington, went to Bellevue High School, made a bad decision and went to UW, should have went to WSU, but it is what it is.
That's okay. Neither here nor there. Everyone makes mistakes. It's okay.
Buda Baker, who was named Week 6 defensive NFC Defensive Player of the Week, he is looking better and better each week. Can you talk about just how he's making a name for himself, and he's making it look so easy, and he's only been in the league, what, his second year? Fourth year, excuse me.
Yeah, Buda's so fun to watch, too, because also just personality-wise, he's kind of, like, quiet. I don't want to say goofy necessarily, but just kind of, like, you know, very laid back. And then you see him, like, absolutely pulverize people on the field. And, like, you know, he's a little smaller. He pops out of absolutely nowhere. And it's just what he does is really wild out there. I think Monday night really encapsulated so much of that. It was his first career interception, which I think is such a surprising thing to so many people, just given everything else he does on this defense. And he did it in a cast too. He had that thumb surgery, so he still got a cast while he's playing. He did quip that Andy Dalton threw a perfect spiral, so that made it a little easier for him to pick it off. So there is that. But yeah, his impact on this defense, especially now without Chandler Jones, is so critical. And I think you really see him in all facets of that defense.
I just remember last season he blew up. What was the running back the Seahawks had last year who broke his forearm in the game against
CJ Procise?
CJ Procise. I just remember him coming down 99 miles per hour and smacking CJ, and CJ going off the field, and then a few, I think, days later we found out he broke his arm, and I was just like, Jesus, this Buda Baker kid is, he's ferocious, and then he's continued his ferociousness as this season is, we're 6 weeks, 7 weeks in, and he's still doing his thing. What's the ceiling for this kid?
Yeah, it's that play too. I rewatched it for a feature earlier this season, and it just looks like he teleports. Like, when you see where he starts on the field and where he makes the play, I don't know, like, what law of science is being slightly tweaked there or what. But yeah, the way he just moves so quickly is, you know, I don't know exactly what his ceiling is when he's able to just get places and make those big plays too. When he forced the fumble in Monday night's game, his awareness too, he mentioned something, he could hear Andy Dalton calling Zeke. So he was just like, oh, well, here's where I'm going. I'm going to just force a fumble in this very moment. So between his skill set, that awareness, I think, you know, he's going to keep being a dominant player on this defense.
We're just going to stay on Buda real quick because I don't know if you know this, the real Fitz, that Buda was drafted. You probably know that he was drafted one pick after Seahawks took Malik McDowell, 35th overall in 2017. And it just eats at the hearts of Seattle fans to see him not only just play somewhere else, but play in the division and play well at a time when the Seahawks are just, well, where they were struggling to replace Earl and Cam in the Legion of Boom. How long do you think this is just going to, Buda's going to play well enough to just eat at Seattle fans' hearts for the rest of his career?
With my regrets to the fans. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, also, what a lovely hometown story that would have been. But no, I think he's still improving even from last year when he had a really strong season. I think already this year, seeing what he can do. And again, to have the game he did, I mean, I don't know, obviously, what it's like to play football in the NFL at any level, but especially with a cast, and to still be putting up those numbers. He really didn't miss a beat. He's still leading the team in solo tackles, even though he missed a game. So what he can bring to this defense, I think, is really, it's going to still be around for quite a while.
I want to go back to the offense, and I'm going to look at the offensive line, because they've come a long way from when J.R. Sweezy accidentally sacked Kyler Murray against the against the Detroit Lions in 2019. I think, what was that, the first game of the season, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, that's a good bar to set, I think, for anyone who wants to look at self-improvement. You always want to kind of, you know, start there so you can build up.
Exactly. And right now, the offensive line, they are 18th in pass protection, and pass blocking rate, they're ranked third. Can you talk about just the improvements and what they've done over the offseason to improve this O-line now that, and you have Kyler Murray playing really well?
Yeah, well, I think the most obvious key is that Kyler Murray bought them all matching scooters for Christmas, and they have really leaned into that. They're calling themselves the Wild Hogs. I think they have, like, matching outfits and stuff like that. And, like, I don't know, I think anything more reminiscent of boy bands in the NFL is a win for everyone. So I love a good theme. I'm excited about that. I think it also, though, you know, including Kyler still, it goes hand in hand with his development, where so much of last year, you know, those 48 sacks, part of it is just the way that he plays and his understanding of what he can and can't get away with in the NFL. So I think they're certainly, the offensive line as a unit is stronger and doing a better job, but it's also, it was going to happen either way, just of his improvement. You know, they make each other look good, both on the football field and in the scooter world.
What kind of scooters do they get?
What kind of
scooters are we talking here?
Not like Razor scooters, like motorized.
Oh,
I don't know.
Spending money there, Kyler.
the like electric joints?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fancy.
So very fancy. They used them around training camp to get from the stadium to the hotel, which is like across the street. So absolutely where you want to save your energy. But actually, really, it's so hot in Arizona. I would scooter 100 feet if I could. So I get it.
How about you ask Kyler, hey, what can I do to land a scooter? Do you need a feature? What's up?
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely can't protect him in any way, so I'll have to find some other options.
You mentioned Larry Fitzgerald earlier, I guess him losing to Kyler Murray in chess, which I'm shocked, I guess. I would assume with Larry, he's just good at everything. I mean, he doesn't drop any passes. If I'm not mistaken, he still has more tackles than he has drops, which is insane. But how is he still doing this? The man's got to be 40 years old, right? How is he still playing the game he loves and doing it at a high level to the point where he's still productive in the run game and in the passing game?
Yeah, what has been interesting to watch this season is he has dipped a little bit, but I think some of that's just going to be natural anyway of adding in Hopkins. There were a few games where just like the offense as a whole is looking a little weird, so everyone was dipping. But I think when I mentioned before trying to figure out that offensive identity, they almost need to like remember to use him a bit more. Cliff Kingsbury has been very self-critical about that of like, yeah, I should probably use the future Hall of Famer a bit more in my play calling, in my planning. But as far as what Larry can do himself, I think he was really re-energized last season when they brought in Kyler Murray. You know, obviously every year once it gets to a certain point, he gets the retirement questions. And last year it seemed kind of clear even before he decided during the offseason that he would come back again, that he was having fun again. He was enjoying it. Seeing what the ceiling could be with Cliff and Kyler was enticing to him. And I think that made all of the preparation he does, you know, all the outside of football stuff of just taking care of his body, still being able to do what he does in year 17, it made it a little easier when he was excited about where this team was headed. So I think they still need to get him a little bit more involved. He obviously still, you know, blocking downfield, very involved. He'll get some first downs that really re-energize everyone. But he had the one game this season with just one catch for no gain, and that was unheard of. So I think that's something they're still working through, but obviously has an impact on this team either way.
So how did you guys find out that he lost to Kyler in chess? Like, who broke that news? Was that Kyler or was that Larry?
Definitely Kyler. Just in that, I think he was the one we talked to next and we asked him about it. Or actually, it might have been Trent Sherfield. We've talked to a few people about chess. I don't think it was Larry. Oh, it might have been that Kyler posted on Instagram about it. I think actually now that I have sounded it out to myself, that's what it was. It was a good old social media flex of I beat this guy in chess.
So, I don't know the rules in NFL locker rooms, but I'm pretty sure unofficially if you lose in chess, you like the guy who wins is like, look at me, I'm the captain now. I think that's how it goes. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if that's how it goes in Arizona, but like next time you talk to the other Fitz, you should let him know like Kyler is the captain now.
Well, I would want to check first if they've had a rematch since. Like, it sounds like it wasn't a one-time chess thing. I think it's pretty ongoing, which, you know, props. I'm not good at chess, so but I think there's a lot of guys who really like it, so love that for them.
If honestly, if Kyler's smart, he just doesn't play him again. That's it.
It's you like just win one and be done.
It's like when you beat, like, I think I beat my dad in like basketball one-on-one maybe one time. I'm pretty sure I have, and I wouldn't play him again. It's just like no, this is it, like this is done, like I'm gonna walk off having like surpassed you. I am the man of the house now. That is how this goes. So I want
absolutely.
You hang
the banner and you just never hope for another challenge, or you're just like, no, we did this, it's settled.
Yeah, no, that's it. You have so many like little sub beats on your Arizona Cardinals beat, whether it is the Kyler Murray out of context quotes or just, I don't know, just being very hilarious on Twitter. That should be like included in there, the Kyler Murray Larry Fitzgerald chess saga. I would definitely read like 2,000 words on that.
It came up partially too because they were all playing video games so much this summer, which in asking about that led to, if you ever get a chance to hear running back Chase Edmonds do his impression of Buda Baker, it's hysterical. So I highly recommend that. Because when they trash talk each other during video games, Edmonds likes to pretend to be Buddha back to Buddha, which absolute mental warfare, respect it. So, yeah.
This team sounds fun. I mean, I guess they're kind of decent too. So that helps. I'm sure like covering the Cowboys is like no fun, even if they do have personalities on there. Let's get into predictions specifically, you know, for this game. Before we get into over under and the actual prediction from you, you know, Kyler Murray has struggled at times. You know, he hasn't been like perfect this season, even against the Cowboys. Like, he's one throw away from having like a Mitch Trubisky ish sort of game in terms of accuracy. The teams who have had success against him defensively, what is there like a common thread in what they've done?
Yeah, and I think this maybe sounds super obvious of just eliminating the big plays, but against the Panthers, it was just a really weird-looking game where it almost was like, do you remember that you can go downfield? Was this something we discussed this week? What's going on here? Especially when they have such dynamic playmakers. You know, Kyler, obviously, he can break open at any point and change the course of a game, but I think the more they can involve everyone and just have some of those big plays, it's something they feel too as a team. Christian Kirk has brought it up a bunch of times of like, he feels that's so critical to this offense. And, you know, obviously every team wants big plays, but just the way they want to get things done fast, get on to the next thing. I think that's what you saw in the Panthers game where they were a lot less effective.
All right, if any Seahawks coaches, defensive players listening, there you go. That's how you stop Kyler Murray, or at least that's how you try. But this defense has had some issues stopping pretty much anyone.
My Venmo is available for all.
let's get into the over under that we do with every guest this week. We're gonna do two. We're gonna do over under and either or. So our first over under is 9.5 catches for DeAndre Hopkins. What you got?
Ooh, I think he's perfectly capable of that, but I'm gonna go under just because I think they're still trying to get everyone a bit more involved, spread it a bit. So I'll go under on that.
All right, you got that down, Chris? Perfect. All right, and then we're gonna go with the either or. Who will have more receiving yards on Sunday? Will it be DeAndre Hopkins or will it be the young stud DK Metcalf?
Oh, here I think I'll go Hopkins. I know that Metcalf's having such a strong season. And, you know, what he and Russell Wilson are doing together is fun to watch. But I think Hopkins, you know, I know I just said less than 9.5 catches, but I'm going to go with him for this one.
Well, I mean, that's fair, though. I mean, he had, what, 6 catches against the Jets and ended up with 131 yards. So it's not like he needs a lot of catches, you know, to get a bunch of yards. What do you have, like 1 catch for 70 yards the other day against the Cowboys? I'm pretty sure it was something. What was it?
Basically, right. I think it was two for 80.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, boom. Yeah. There you go. He doesn't need a lot. He's a big play waiting to happen. And last but not least, who do you got? Give us a winner and a score.
Okay. Predictions stress me out a lot. And I think Cardinals Seahawks are especially so weird given that they have that whole like home away dynamic going on. I think the Seahawks still get this one, especially given coming off the bye with the Cardinals having a shorter week. I don't think that's going to be a huge effect on their game planning or their production or anything. But I think Seattle right now is just, you know, putting together such whole games, and the Cardinals are still, even in some of their wins, they haven't gotten everything quite together. And I think it'll be pretty high scoring, but close. So let's go with like a 30-28, a real nail biter.
Ooh, Seahawks are what, favored by 3 right now? Is that what it is? I'm pretty sure. Never gamble, ladies and gentlemen. That's just, you know, I always got to say that.
Is it legal in Washington now?
It's we're getting there to the point where we'll have sports books.
You said 3.5, right?
I said 3.
It's 3.5.
3.5? Okay. So what's the over under? We got over under?
Over under is 56.
Okay. So we got the real fits taking the Cardinals to cover and the over. There you go. Once again, never gamble. Just throwing that out there.
Catherine. No, just play chess with your friends. It's a better alternative.
You wanna play some chess?
Do you know how to play chess, Chris?
Oh, man. I am terrible, but yeah, we can do it.
Do you know the rules and everything?
Oh, I know the rules, man. I love chess. Okay. I'm just not. I haven't mastered it.
No, yeah. I taught myself in college once on my app during classes. I was not good at school freshman year, but I was good at chess. I asked my homie, I said, hey, man, can you like help me get better? And then we played as like a practice. And I beat him.
And you never played him
again?
And
I never played him or anybody again. I was like, oh, this
there
is.
There you go.
I retired on top. But yeah, maybe we could play. I got to remember the rules on all that, which all the pieces, one of them can move in an L. I'll get there.
I said the horse almost. Wow, that was bad. We're not going to even continue.
Yeah, let's not. No. Let's end on a high note. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you always. Make sure everyone, you guys listening right now, go follow her, go read her stuff. What's your verified Twitter account handle?
Yeah, it's at KFitz134.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Seahawks Man to Man podcast, powered by The Athletic. We will catch you guys after the Seahawks apparently beat the Cardinals, according to our guests. Thanks for that. We're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.